James, we noticed you are in the room with us. Were you here to make a comment?
He's muted. You're muted if you had something to contribute.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
No public comments? Okay, we'll go on to reports. Any board members have reports? Ricky or reports?
No.
Okay. Sherry, your report, please.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask Valerie's here from DMS, and she's going to be next. Do you mind if we
start there? Sure. All right.
So, Valerie.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Would you like me to present the UAs tonight, right now? Okay, great. Okay, we'll start with Long Valley, the 2019-20 unaudited actuals. And so we wrapped up your fiscal year, and if we want to take a look at page 2, it talks about...
Valerie, hang on a second. So okay. If you're looking at your board packet, it's going to be page 54 is where it starts. Valley.
Right.
Sorry.
No problem. Thank you. As Sherry noted, the UAs. So on the second page, we just kind of talk about, we summarized for the 2019-20 year, you ended with an operating surplus of $65,183. So that increased your ending fund balance to the $2.398 million. So that's very, very good and stable. The next page after that summary shows you where things sit in regards to your revenues and your expenditures. So those are on the next two pages. And I'm happy to field any questions that you might have on those. On your revenues and expenditures. And then the final two pages of the Long Valley report shows your balance sheet, your ending balance sheet as of June 30th. So any questions on that?
I'm not seeing any in this room, anybody, John or Ricky?
Okay. Okay, all right. Great, so a real good year there for Long Valley. The next, we'll take a look at Thompson Peak. They're unaudited actuals, and if we look at the comment page, you can see there that it ended the year with an operating surplus, a positive of $72,931. So that brings Thompson Peak's ending fund balance to $754,896. So. A real solid start for Thompson Peak. And then right behind that, you again have your profit and loss showing you all of your revenues and expenses, followed by your balance sheet pages right after that. And happy to answer any questions you guys might have in regards to these year-end financials.
Anything here, John and Rick,
who are
on screen?
Okay.
No questions.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us, these are the unaudited actuals. So this
exactly.
is the books, and
right.
What's next?
Right. So what happens next with the 1920 year is we work with your auditor. And we go through the audit process. So that starts, we've already done some of the preliminary work. We intend to have that wrapped up and finalized by December the 15th. So that's when everything is finalized and reported to the state, the final numbers, and if there's any audit adjustments between now and then, we'll take care of those. So, so that's the process over the next 90 days. Just to finalize this year. And then the next board meeting that I'll have with you, I'll be giving you a year-to-date progress on your new fiscal year and where things sit in terms of expenditures and revenues year-to-date.
Have to be at the end of the cycle, you know,
getting
to see it all
through. Yep, exactly. But a really good strong ending numbers to have that net net gain of that $60,000 and $70,000. So as you guys know, you're a non-classroom based school, so you want to show that you're spending the money on the students and you're not you know, keeping the money unused. So a real good use of your money, and that will help with your funding determination. And those are things that Sherry pays close attention to for good reason. So everything looks great.
Okay, well, we'll let Valerie go unless anyone has anything else for her.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank okay, you. Great. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thanks for joining us.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, so now Sherry's report. Mm-hmm.
So I submitted the report. I want you to know that in there, I shared some new legislation went through, which if you're another school, you might have been really excited that they froze the payments for revenue. So whatever your, they call it P2, whatever your ADA, your average daily attendance was at the end of February, that's what you're going to get paid on this year. For us, we grew all year, so our P2 ADA was actually less than what it should have been. We should have been doing P2 April 15th, so we actually had slightly under what it should have been. Plus, we enrolled kiddos,
right?
And now we're not going to be paid for them because they're only going to pay us based on last year's numbers. So I did a calculation. What I sent to you in my report was a projected loss of income or a loss of revenue of $365,000 for Long Valley and $76,000 for Thompson Peak. And I went back with Valerie and she said, you know what, it's actually higher. Because I used an approximate amount of $10,000 of revenue per student. And she said that when she goes back and looks at our average, it's more like $11,000 per student. So she said the projection was more like $403,000 for Long Valley. And for Thompson Peak, it's $107,000. So, you know, what does that really mean? It means we're still functioning with a lot of the same staff. Their numbers were just really maximized, but there are real costs for curriculum and other pieces that we buy for students to support them. So in a way, our PPP funds that we got, that loan, that kind of eats that right up. So in a way, I made the decision to take that money was right on because we had an actual loss that actually exceeded those dollars. So, you know, I'm pretty happy that we took that money and, you know, that's going to help offset this.
And so is that freeze based on the state's budget, like reducing?
So it really wasn't based on that. It was based on what the state looked at this and they said that most schools will have a loss of ADA this year because of higher absenteeism, families staying, deciding to pull out and just homeschool their kids. Mm-hmm. So it was actually there to protect schools so that they didn't lose money. For us, because kids came our way, we're in a boat where we're not losing money, we're just not getting paid. So in a way it feels like a loss, right? And we've frozen our enrollment as of today.
Right.
And I want you to know that today we have 50 students on waiting list between our three locations. So if we were actually getting paid, we could increase our staff and accommodate kids, but there's no way we can do that. So, Ricky, thought you look like you're thinking on it.
No, I'm just listening. Yeah.
So that's a,
Hey, Sherry.
Yeah.
Are we going to get reimbursed for this at all after the freeze? Or is this money that is later, Gator, and we'll catch up next year?
For are we going to get reimbursed?
Next.
And so, do they know how long it's going to last, or is there a projection, or is there any like way you can go back and say, we understand this worked for most schools, but we really had an increase? Is there something?
So I want you to know this was a big deal in the, I spoke to our legislators over the last month multiple times.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden this was a question. What about the schools that are growing? And so what the state ended up, what the legislature ended up doing was saying that if you're a growing school, we'll build in some opportunity for that, but not if you're a non-classroom based charter.
Wow.
That was nice.
Wasn't that nice? So if you're a regular classroom-based charter, which we feel like we are, but because more than 20% of the students at Long Valley are in a non-classroom-based setting, they consider the whole school non-classroom-based, and they will not be making any adjustment. And there were actually lots of strings. It wasn't even a, it's not even a simple across the board, you know the state's going to be really struggling with paying out the revenue, so they're not looking to pay more out to anybody. But I know there's other schools sitting there with only a handful of students in their classrooms, and they're being paid the same as they were when they had a full classroom. So it feels a little unfair, but you know, being on charter for over 20 years, it's never been different. So, but I just wanted to share that with you. We increased our staff here because we needed additional persons to do the paraeducators, and we needed additional staff to cover breaks. We are in the process right now of hiring that last teacher that we had put on as approved, because we've had about 20 students whose families decided here at this location they did not want to come back into the classroom and requested independent study. So we have that one more person coming on. So it's going to be a challenging year. We'll have to watch for the rest of the year on how we spend our dollars.
Right.
Okay. I was not super happy. I want to talk to you about, well, you got all the information from me. There is one item that I will probably bring to you next week. I want to share with you, you know, which comes up next is the update on school reopening. But I want to talk to you about trend testing, which is what it's called when you basically for no reason send your staff members to get tested for COVID. And we said in our health and safety plan that was adopted in August, I think, that we were going to ask our staff, we were going to require our staff to get tested every 2 months. So everybody got tested at the beginning of the year. And that's the event that sort of launched us into all the events that transpired. So if you don't have any further questions on my report, I'd like to go into what transpired, the update on reopening, if that's okay with everybody. So let's see if I can do this. Where's the, why am I having this much trouble? I don't know. Well, there's the rest of the stuff. You're not seeing my screen. They're seeing my screen. Let's see how I fix that. There it is. Okay. So I just wanted to share what transpired here in the last couple weeks, because boy, we've had quite the situation. You know, we set up some rules at this in the health and safety plan. Everybody goes through a temperature check and wellness screening. I want you to know, not every school is doing that. Like, we took an ultra conservative plan here. And I got to tell you, people are wearing their face coverings. Everybody's doing a great job of this. We physically distanced everything, which is why we needed the additional staff. Increased hygiene and disinfection. They have a pretty tight schedule of when everything gets cleaned, and it's multiple times a day. And then we did this trend testing, and we said we would test staff approximately every 2 months. So, you know, we started about our merry way on the 17th, and we were in school on the 18th, and my phone rang on the 19th.
Oops.
Was the Department of Public Health to say that a person here in associated with the first, second grade group had tested positive for COVID. And it was a back and forth conversation. At first they said, oh, no big deal. I was kind of like, okay, wait. Yeah. No big deal. So I said, we have a chart in our plan that says if someone tests positive in a group, that group goes home for their 14 days. What I learned at that point is the health department hadn't even read our plan. They'd come out and inspected, and we're happy with what we did. But anyway, I said, well, it says in the plan this, and they said, oh, well, then you should do what your plan says, send that group home. So we sent the first, second grade group home. Mm-hmm. We thought they were going to contact trace and determine if maybe some of the people could come back or whatever. Mm-hmm. We learned that the person who was positive had symptoms over a month before.
Oh my goodness.
And so truly, had they done the work with this person before they reported it to us, they should have never even reported it to us. Because they should have realized this person was already past their 14 days.
Yeah.
But what I learned on that day, another thing I learned, was that you can test positive for up to 3 months, even if you're no longer, you're no longer contagious. So yeah. To me, that was sort of a little bit of a misstep, but there we were. The health department said, we want to come set up testing. Instead of contact tracing everyone, we're going to come and test. So at first they were going to release anybody who tested negative would be able to come back to school. And then they said, oh no, no matter what, we're making everybody be out for 14 days, this first, second grade group. So fun. But they said they would come to Doyle and set up a testing, and they were willing to test any of the students and employees in that group, siblings, and any other staff member who felt like they wanted to be tested. So they came here and did some testing. I want you to know, at this point, our communication with the health department might have been a little contentious, and that was confirmed when the sheriff came to help monitor what was going on our campus. And then my phone rang on Sunday. Well, when I saw the gal's name on my phone on Sunday, I knew this can't be good. Mm-hmm. So now a person in the sixth, seventh grade group who got, somebody who got tested on Friday, who was in the sixth, seventh grade group, tested positive. I said, okay, so we're quarantining the sixth, seventh grade group. They said, yeah. And then I was at Motor Vehicle on Monday in Truckee trying to register our bus.
Oh, our new bus.
Our new bus. And, you know, it was like one of those really weird days. Air quality was getting into that really unhealthy range. It was just a really weird day. And what I learned as I'm standing there outside of DMV is that there also were 7 inconclusive results from that Friday test. To which I say to you all, if you have 40 or 50 tests, how do you have 7 inconclusive? Something wasn't right with testing. Mm-hmm. You can't have that many. Well, the health department decided that they were counting them all as positives. Without having a negative, they treat them as a positive and inconclusive until they learn otherwise. So now they're asking me how many people we have on campus, because what the state says is, and it says it in our papers too, if 5% of your population tests positive, you need to close your school. So unbeknownst to me, the health department, had a meeting with the state health department, and the state health department recommended that our school get closed. And they decided that they would quarantine every staff member and have the school closed. And again, no contact tracing. Our staff, some of them got calls, some of them didn't, some of them got letters, some of them didn't. My name was on the list because I was here on Friday. I asked multiple times, am I quarantined? Are you determined? How are we doing? And never got an answer. Quite the journey. So, you know, basically on that 25th, we got that. We had really bad air quality days.
And so school was closed anyway.
School was closed anyway, but.
So that helped a little bit, yes.
But in the set of rules, it says in the whole COVID business, there was this little piece I had read already that said, if there are other emergency things going on that would qualify you for, you know, not counting those days toward, you could take advantage of those. So this whole week we're putting in for saying that they were emergency days. Then they don't have to be made up. But of course, that whole following week, you know, I was monitoring the air quality. It was never that bad again. So this whole week, everyone was on quarantine till the 4th. Now I'm going to tell you, it was my intention. It was in every plan of ours that we would give out all the technology, and if we had to close, everybody would do distance learning. Well, guess what? By the time this happened, we hadn't even gotten back all the paperwork to be able to check out computers. I mean, this just caught us really, to me, it flat-footed. And so we had that special meeting. Everybody agreed, you know, approved that we were going to, you know, change our calendar. So the days of this week, this 31st through the 4th, have been added back into our calendar. Those need to be made up. Staff knew they needed to work a couple of those days, so some of them agreed, volunteered to work on Saturday once their quarantine was over. They came to the campus, gathered computers, and set up a checkout. And maybe about two-thirds of our families came and picked up computers on that day, which was pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
And then we had the Labor Day weekend, and school opened. So, like I said, I learned that whole idea that you can test positive for a really long time.
My doctor actually told me that.
Yeah, it's on the CDC site now, so you can see that's something that they've learned. I actually had a lot of parents say, well, you're not going to let people come back unless they test negative, right? And that's not the case anymore. No. They're not looking for the
it
negative.
Can't be.
they're saying that's why they give you a full 14-day quarantine. And then, you know, part of what we're doing is having that check as you come through the door, the screening. So if you have symptoms, you're not coming back. But if you don't have symptoms and you've served your quarantine, that's sort of the end. I thought we were definitely the pilot for the health department. They've already made changes to what they're doing, you know. We still have not been involved in any kind of conversation. I've asked them to sort of do that after event. Let's just have a conversation and say, what can we all do better? And I don't think they're willing to involve us. So not only did we not have computers in the hands of students, by having every staff member quarantined, we couldn't serve meals. So one of the things we've done is Elle has grabbed a couple more of our paras here at school and had them go through the food handler's license process so that we have more people that can pull together meals if we needed to. We applied and were qualified for the seamless summer option, which means we can serve meals to anyone in the community age 18 and under. They don't have to be eligible for free or reduced. So every kid at school now can get breakfast and lunch, which is a benefit to the kids. And we'll be ready if we have another set of circumstances, I hope. The other thing is, when this happened, other schools weren't in session. We couldn't even go to another school and say, let us buy meals from you to serve. So again, I think we're in a better spot. I've asked around, schools don't have a problem selling us, you know, lunches if we got into that pickle. That's that. Sharing that. So in the trend testing, I'm trying to close you, come on. In the idea of trend testing, we had put in our plan that we wanted to test everybody every 2 months. Quite honestly, I think the fact that we check for symptoms, the majority of schools are not doing that testing. I still think there's some testing that's a good idea, but I want to bring back to your proposal next month that we test like 3 times during this year, and I'm going to put one right before winter break, one right before spring break, so that if there are positives showing up, it can be with a built-in quarantine period anyway, but that still gives us the feedback if there's some virus going around. I don't know if anybody has. Sure. Yep.
I have a question for you. Yep. Okay, say for instance over at Thompson Peak, and we'll use Chris as an example.
Okay.
He tests positive, but he hasn't been running a temperature, so he doesn't know he's clear of the COVID, but he tests positive with the foot-long Q-tip. Does the whole school get shut down then?
No,
because he tested positive.
And so, John, one of the things we've really done is paid attention to the idea that you're with a smaller group of people. You're distancing, you're wearing a face covering, and those guys are wearing them at all times. Unless he's in a room all by himself, then he can take his face covering off, but otherwise he's wearing that. So then that in that scenario, the health department should just be asking, who did he have contact with within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes? Okay. And that may be a select number of students then that he's seen that week. And those may be notified and not necessarily quarantined, but the health department gets to make that call. We don't get to decide who's on quarantine, but we would send him home in any group that he had contact with, you know, that kind of level of contact. we're really asking our staff to keep that distance so that we're not dealing with multiple people needing to be on quarantine.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Sharon, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What happens if a family member, a spouse, or another child that doesn't go to the school is confirmed positive, but your child shows no symptoms? Should they be quarantined and stay home for 14 days, or should they go to school as long as they, let's say it even tests negative. Do they get to go to school, or should they, how does that work? If we have a known positive case in a household, do you let your kid go to school?
So here's the, if that is one of the questions on our screening. Does anyone, have you had direct contact with anyone who's tested positive? If the answer is yes, then they would be excluded from school.
But here's the kicker. Do they have to? And I know that sounds weird, but there's no law saying, that's where I was getting at. I mean, it's common sense. If you have symptoms or you're testing to think that you might have it, you should keep your kids home. But there's a lot of parents, I won't mention names, that can't afford to. So they send the kids to school anyway until there's a positive because they just can't afford daycare. They have to go to work. And that's what's causing problems in my mind is they I'm not saying they don't care. I'm saying that they have no other choice. So they're going to send their kid to school until they're negative with symptoms.
Right. And of course, you know, people can have COVID and be asymptomatic, right? They possibly never show symptoms. So Ricky, you know, we're only, and I've had this conversation with Katie Hart, who's our county nurse that works for Lassen County Office of Education, not the health department. And she said, truly, we are only as strong as like our weakest link. So if we have members of our community not honoring this, we're going to keep coming up with positive spread. Okay. So we're going to do our part. We're going to ask those questions. And again, it's direct contact. So, you know, we got into this with like siblings. Should siblings stay home because the kids in the first, second grade class first went home? Right. And what was explained, what we learned, is that a contact of a contact is not a direct contact. So that doesn't exclude you. But if you've had that, you know, serious direct contact with someone who is actually positive, then you should be excluded from coming to school. So again, we do our best, we ask the questions, but if people lie and the child doesn't have any symptoms, we don't know.
Right. Okay, I was just curious how that worked.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. We don't have to worry about indirect contact. We only have to worry about direct contacts. And again, you know, if somebody comes with no symptoms, we are not the wiser. And it's one of the risks of opening for in-person instruction, which I know that all of us believe kids should be at school, and we keep going. We'll see. You know, I had some parents who were very, very upset about it and, you know, really questioning our efforts and how we were operating. But there are limits to what we can know. I've heard some rumors of some things in the community where people weren't honest with us and sent kids to school when they probably shouldn't have been here. But again, I can't operate on hearsay either, because then we'll all of a sudden be accusing all kinds of people and things. Right. I got to spend the day here today. We had the new interim superintendent from Fort Sage came over for a tour and to look. And I, you know, our kids and our staff are marching the orders and really complying with wearing the face coverings for grades 3 and above, keeping the distance. Anything else you guys want to Yes, on that.
I think so.
So this next piece, Wilma, we've never, as a charter school, and I know Larry's had to do it plenty of times, right, with the school district up in Ravendale, you have hearings for different things. Charter schools are rarely asked to have a hearing, but for this particular learning continuity and attendance plan, we've been directed that we had to hold a public hearing.
Okay.
So, you're just gonna open the public hearing?
So this is just to decide if we're...
We're not voting or anything. We're, right. You're voting to open the hearing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so can I get a motion on the number A?
Got Larry there.
Larry, can I get a second?
I'll second.
I'll second. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ricky.
So we'll approve based on roll call, Larry. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Looks like we got someone else join.
Yep.
Okay, so.
No, that's me. Sorry.
That's you?
Oh.
Ignore it.
That's your John's iPad? Yep.
We have two. What number two, John's on the meeting?
So the state came up with this tool called the Learning Continuity and Attendance Plan. So we're not doing an LCAP this year. We're doing that local control and accountability plan in the spring. So that'll come back around. But this was an opportunity for schools to share with their families and community what things they were doing in response to COVID and making sure that the monies we get what's called supplemental concentration funds. And that the state's just interested in us being disclosing how we're spending those monies, which would normally be in the LCAP, in a way that focuses on the students that generate those funds. So those are our low-income students, our English learners, our foster youth, and our students experiencing homelessness help generate those funds. Because both schools are over 55% of that population, we get to use those dollars on all students. In schools where that's under 55%, you have to do a more targeted approach and say we're spending that money on those kids. You have to identify who those children are. We have the opportunity that we can help all children, which certainly when you're adding paraeducators or getting a mental health counselor like we've done, that's available to everyone. And so I sent you a picture of this plan. It's the county office gave us some feedback, made us provide some more details. That got sent out to all our families along with an opportunity to share their, you know, feedback or if they want to present anything. All of our employees have had that opportunity to review on that and share.
And have we heard, gotten anything back?
I've gotten very little feedback. There's been a couple of small, work with a group of teachers. They've certainly corrected any grammatical errors or tense errors. But for the most part, they felt like it's an accurate portrayal of what we're doing.
Right.
Through some of our surveys, and town hall meetings that we've had, right. There's been a couple of parents that have shared, some suggestions, and we've incorporated them, and I think in the section in here that talks about that stakeholder input. we've identified everything that we've heard and what we've done with it. You know, like I had a young man in Susanville for independent study. He loved that they had been doing art classes and, you know, some more engaging kinds of things, and we didn't want to see that gone. So, you know, he said, can we at least in the, you know, fall, while the weather's still nice, do some outside group events like that, you know, with 10 kids or whatever. And so that was a great idea and made that work.
Okay, any questions or comments? So can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I make a motion.
Larry? I'll second it. All in favor by roll call. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Okay. Move on to the action items. A, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the 2019-2020 unaudited actuals for Long Valley and Thompson Peak. Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion. We approve that as stated.
I'll second it.
Okay. Approval by roll. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Okay. Item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of J13A emergency days applications for poor air quality days.
I make a motion.
Okay, first by Larry. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All in favor by roll, Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Item C, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated org chart for Doyle Campus, removing the maintenance position and adding additional part-time aides.
Can I just share that our maintenance person had given 2 weeks notice and is leaving. Tomorrow is his last day. And so it's been a real struggle to get someone to come in and having that knowledge to do the maintenance work. And a lot of the maintenance work is our landscaping work. So we're hoping we can just remove that position. There's not that much in the maintenance that you bring in a plumber if you got a plumbing issue, bring in an electrician if you've got an electrical issue. What we will probably do is seek out a landscape contract to take care of maintaining the grounds, which then of course we don't have to maintain during
in the
off season, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking to do.
I'll make a motion. Can I get a second?
I second it.
Approval by roll. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Item D, discussion and possible action regarding approval of memorandum of understanding with Lassen County probation for truancy reduction.
And you guys, I asked for them to send me this. And it was much earlier in our, I think I asked during the summer, earlier on before I knew we were not getting our money.
Right.
But it's over $4,000. Since then, we learned that the county office got a grant to have additional school resource officers who are swinging by here once a week and are willing to go knock on a door, which is what we needed truancy's help for if the kiddo was MIA. So I had recommended that maybe this is not a thing we need to do.
I was thinking that when I looked through the agenda and everything before we started.
I'll make a motion.
So Do you want to make the motion to approve it or not approve it?
Okay.
Not approve it? Okay. So Larry made a motion to not approve the MOU with Lassen County probation for truancy reduction. Can I get a second?
I'll second it, John.
Okay. Approval by roll. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Item E, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated enrollment capacity for Long Valley and Thompson Peak.
So all I've done on here is seek to take our capacity. As a board, you approve the capacity each year. What I want to do is reduce our capacity so that as some students maybe disenroll, we're not backfilling and keeping that number up high. I want to let it, and it's only by a few, but it would take sort of a pressure off and not put us at that, you know, totally packed to capacity. So
right. I'll make the motion.
I second it.
Approval by roll. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Item F, discussion and possible action regarding approval of Crisis Prevention Institute certification training for Whitney Mock. Mm-hmm.
I'll make the motion to approve it as so stated.
Okay. Can I get approval by roll? Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Ricky?
Aye.
Okay. Now we'll go into a closed session.
Right.
At 6:38.
So you need to announce what that item
okay.
is.
Okay. Closed session for public employee discipline, dismissal, release.
Great. And the person, let me.
Is that in the brief? No, it's not a brief.
Sorry, I gotta figure out.
Participants.
Right, that's what I mean. And our person is no longer there, so.
Okay. Did we know who that person was?
I don't have any idea.
Okay, so future items. A special meeting on September 17th
mm-hmm.
to have the action on the learning continuity and attendance plan.
Right, so now we have the hearing tonight. We need to approve it before the end of the month. So,
okay.
If we could do that next Thursday.
Yeah, I think that. Does that work for everyone? September 17th.
That should be a 5-minute meeting.
How long will that meeting last? You know, just regular or?
Unless all of a sudden a bunch of people show up to say something, it should be 3 minutes to approve it.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll be available or not, Sherry, because I start a new job here the 15th.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if we have Ricky and Wilma and I can get Christian, mm-hmm. we can get on Zoom and just, make it pretty yeah. quick.
I'll be available.
Sorry. I don't think you necessarily want to drive down here.
I've got a plane in Reno
that
day, but I should be back.
Oh, okay.
Also, just to let you know, I'll be available on Thursdays, but I'm back doing a Thursday Awana once a month. And tonight, I don't have it, but I have Awana on Thursday, so I won't necessarily miss the Thursday meeting, but I'll be like with my phone. As long as we have Zoom meetings, it'll be great. I'll just be off in a corner somewhere. But there might be a Thursday here and there that I might have to miss. But for the most part, I'll do my best to do it. So, but it's fine.
Okay, perfect. Right?
Okay, is that it?
Yep.
All right, we'll adjourn at 6:50. Thank you.
Okay, hey, Sherry.
Yep.